good morning. This is Glenn Coble, as you probably already know, and this is on the air. And today I have a special guest that we had to bump up early because he would be on the night before Christmas. Is that right, James?
Something.
Yeah, something like that. And so we decided we would bump it up. You were bumped up for Thanksgiving too, so it works out. It's been a month since we've talked to you, so it's working out.
Yes.
And now I'm not getting your phone, your microphone, so I'm going to have to fool around here. Hang on, keep talking to me.
Morning, Mayor.
All right, use the other one. Yeah, let's see if the other one. Well, thank you very much, microphones. One of you has to work.
Hello.
No, I'm. I can hear you, but only because you're coming through my microphone. Okay. And we just lost Scott, so I don't know how to repair this problem. yeah, try the green one.
Hello. There we go. I think it's this one.
Okay.
Hello.
Well, I can hear you, but I can't hear you very well. I'm sorry to our listening audience. We're kind of doing a little homework here. Not homework. Trying to correct.
Some experimenting.
Yes, I can hear you. Oh, now that's dying. Oh, that's me for some reason or other. I don't know what we've done. Okay, my microphone is now on. And just say hi to the folks.
Hello.
I'm going to leave them all up and hopefully you will come through. Oh, I see what's going on here. Now try it.
Good morning.
There we go. Okay. We had all these little buttons pushed. And
I'm glad it's you and not me.
I wish it were you and not me. All right. Can I hear you still?
I hope so.
Yeah, I can still hear you. All right. Yeah, James Anderson, the Marion County naturalist. And he and I have talked about everything from snakes to mushrooms to...
Scat.
Yeah. Everything under the sun.
Just about, yeah.
And today we are going to talk about everything else.
That's right.
What did you think of my little announcement of our show?
I really liked it. It was very fitting.
Is that a cartoon that you grew up with?
Yeah, when I my teen years.
Yeah.
It's you know, not a kid friendly show.
But. No, it's not. But that particular little scene
yes,
showed all the little critters in the background, so that's why I put it up.
It was very appropriate. I liked.
For those of you, let me have you talk into that yellow one there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one that's working.
All right.
For all you people that don't know what we're talking about, I usually put up the day before any guest that I have. I put up a thing that introduces who we're going to have. And what's the name of that cartoon? I've forgotten.
South Park.
Yeah, South Park. South Park had a cartoon that I found that had a whole bunch of little critters. And I thought, well, that's apropos.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I put it up, and my wife said, do you know how dirty that show is? I did not, because I've never watched it. But anyway. So we have James Anderson on, and today the Pandora's box will open, and we'll find out what he's going to talk about. Do you have a specific thing that you were...
Yes. Yeah, okay. So today I really wanted to focus on the short-eared owl.
That's cool.
So the reason why, because right now if you go out to our parks or Big Island Wildlife Area, they're very, very visible.
Are they really?
Yes. A lot of our local photographers have been able to get some fantastic, beautiful pictures of them.
There's that lady there.
Amy Holloway.
Oh, yeah. Boy, has she done some terrific pictures of the snow owl, I believe.
Yes, yep.
And also an eagle.
Oh, yes.
That's a terrific shot of the eagle in flight.
Yes,
I love
yes.
that. Yeah, she's good.
Oh, she is. She's wonderful. And yeah, we're really good friends. She used to work with my wife at the Tomorrow Center Carnington.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Tell us about these little... Are they little owls, big owls?
I guess you could say medium-sized owls. Uh-huh. So they're bigger than the little screech owl and a little bit smaller than the great horns, but...
What do they sound like when they...
So,
do they do a who?
A little bit, not the traditional one. Maybe a little bit. I actually popped the sound out, and I don't know if it would go through your microphone.
If you hold it right up to it, we can try. We can give it a shot.
So when you're out at Big Island or at Tallgrass Trail, you may hear this sound. This is one of their mating calls that the males do to attract the female.
Now say what the name of the owl is again.
The short. Ear owl.
Short-eared owl. Okay.
Yes. Now,
they probably don't have ears at all, do they?
Well, they have the ear canal or the cavity, but they don't have the external flab that you would see like on us and other critters.
Do they have a little tuft of hair that makes it look like they have an ear?
Well, it's actually funny. Those tufts are just feathers.
I mean, feathers. Yeah.
But those are only just used for communication with other owls, but not all owls have that. The short-eared owl is an example, and that's why it got its name.
Okay.
Versus like the great horn and the screech and the long-eared owl, their tufts are pretty good. Size.
Yeah, they are. Okay, James is queuing up his sound of this short-eared owl. Oh, my.
Yeah, so that's one of them. It sounds like a cat.
Yeah. Sounds like there's some duck or geese in the background.
Yep.
That's an owl?
That's one of the owl calls,
My goodness.
Yeah, everybody always sings all owls hoots. Not all of them.
No.
So here's another one. I hear this quite often at the Tallgrass Trail.
Oh, I love
that. That's one of their territorial calls.
Get the heck out of my property.
Yes.
Ooh, that would scare me out if I were an owl.
This should be the... There we go.
The hooing?
Yeah, that's the male. I know you'll hear a lot of other birds in the background.
Sure. But that hoo-hoo-hoo, he's saying, hey, baby, check me out.
Yep. And this is what you're going to hear a lot because right now they're migrated to Marion County in the wintertime because this is their kind of their breeding ground.
Oh, okay.
And then they go up in the northern United States, Canada, for the summertime.
Is it unusual that this is their breeding ground for now? Or
No. Okay. It's very common. And luckily here in Marion County, I mean, they're here because since we're especially on the west side of the county, it's really grassland, prairie areas. That's where they like to hang out. Unfortunately, in Ohio, you know, there's not many of those spots left. Again, Marion County is one of them. There's a few spots down in southern Ohio, like in Perry and Adams County, down around Sainsville. I've been seeing pictures. And up towards Lake Erie, but kind of here in central Ohio, there's not many spots for the short-eared owls that you'll see them. But here in Marion County, we're very fortunate.
When the Native Americans roamed the area, and no Caucasians did.
Yeah.
Was this prairie land or was it forest?
It was primarily open land prairies in here in Marion County.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Most of Ohio was primarily forested. Now, there were some chunks probably out toward closer to Morrow County. There was probably more foresty areas. Mm-hmm. It's all around like Caledonia and all, but in western around the Elgin School District, those were prairie regions, and they found bison roamed around these areas. So yeah, where we're standing on, long ago, there were bison.
So it isn't like this owl has just found this area because it's now been defoliated. This owl's been coming here for hundreds of years.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, cool.
But it's kind of funny you mentioned that. Why we're kind of talking about owls and what you just mentioned, the barn owl was actually not native to the state of Ohio.
Is that right? And they're all over the place down south. I don't know about up here.
Every once in a while up in central Ohio, but they like the open areas too, the short-eared owl. Well, when we cleared a lot of the forest out for development or agriculture, the barn owl said, well, let's move to Ohio. So the first one recorded in 1861. And what else happened in 1861? Something really big in
the Civil
U.S.
War.
Yeah, pretty good. So the year, the Civil War was when the first barn owl was discovered in Ohio around Cincinnati.
They heard the guns going off, and they said, what's going on? Let's go take a look.
They might have.
Oh, my. That's interesting. Well, now, it sounds to me that maybe I've... hearing old wives' tales if they prefer the open area, because I always thought we had barn owls down in the Athens area a lot, and that's pretty forested.
Yeah, I mean, you might find a couple around Jackson County. There's been some sighted, but There's not a lot. Again, more of your open areas, you're going to find them. But unfortunately, barn owl populations aren't very good in Ohio. They're actually, I want to believe they're threatened, not endangered yet, but they're threatened. So if their population gets worse, then they can become endangered.
Well, there's one thing I've found since I've been talking to you on the radio every month.
All right.
Is that a lot of people have no idea what they're talking about. You know, I've had people go, oh, I hear bobcats all the time. Well, there aren't that many bobcats around.
I get that a lot,
Or that barn owl, it could just be a screech owl, or it could be a short-eared owl that they're hearing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's why we call the expert in. Mr. Anderson comes in and straightens us out.
That and Charlie, boy, he was pretty wise, too.
He was pretty good about that, wasn't he?
Oh, he was.
Do you know where he learned all his stuff? Was it just life?
Just life. And that's why I was always very surprised about that, because many people that had that kind of knowledge usually had some type of background, educational background.
He did have farm background.
Yeah, but for like going to school in natural resources, he didn't have that. He just went out, and he was that curiosity really got him pretty far.
Well, I hope I can live even halfway up to your expectations of what
you do.
He did. And we got about a minute, can people come out to the trail and
yes,
see them a lot?
Yes.
Where do you look?
Probably definitely our open areas of the trail.
Okay,
so
by where the lake is?
Around that region and also around the Big Island Wildlife Area. Mm-hmm. So around the 2 mile marker, that's another spot I found them.
But they don't hang in trees, right?
They can, but mostly you're going to be seeing them hunting.
Okay. Now, are they... where do they nest? Do they nest in the trees?
Actually, it's funny about short ear owls. They're different than the other species of owls in Ohio. They're actually ground nesters.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Versus the other owls are tree nesters.
Yeah, I know that the other owl, well, at least I know some owls are tree nesters, and some of them actually nest inside hollow trees,
yes,
don't they?
Yes, yep. A lot of barred owls and great horns will do that.
Yeah, that's where I'd go if I were an owl. Why sit out in this cold and anyway, we had sleet the other day, so hey, we're going to have to break away here for about 2 minutes. You're listening to James Anderson, the Marion County Naturalist, and he's talking about owls in Marion County. We'll be back after 2 minutes, let's say, okay?
Scott, New York is such a wonderful place to be during the holiday season.
I know the tree in Rockefeller Center, Macy's department store, and a Santa Claus on every street corner.
Well, not every street corner. Even Santa won't go near Central Park at Christmas.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the place for the holiday season.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
We're back again with James Anderson, Marion County's naturalist, and we're talking about owls. So the people that come out to the trail, we're talking about the Tall Grass Trail, by the way, okay, for those of you who are newly tuned in listeners, we do this once a month, and James comes in and tells us about all the critters, all the plants you'd ever want to know about that are here in Central Ohio. But we're talking about the short-eared owl.
Yes, yep, short-eared owl.
And they nest
on the ground. They do.
Now, how do you avoid running over them when you're using a tractor to clear out the land?
Well, luckily...
do they move?
They should. Yeah. But luckily, they're nesting in those big prairie regions.
Oh, okay. So it's growing.
Yeah, they need tall grass. I mean, that needs to be 4 or 5 feet tall.
Oh, okay. What would be their natural predator?
Sometimes eagles will go after them. And
so they're not a huge owl?
No, okay. No. And then if they were injured, a coyote, a fox would take advantage of that.
Okay, yeah. That's how you clean out the, you know, survival of the fittest,
yes,
I guess. Yeah, it's kind of a sad part. My wife and I don't watch nature programs because of that. Don't lie. like seeing critters eating other critters, even though we're probably sitting there eating hamburger.
Yeah.
Okay, so if people come out to the Tallgrass Trail, probably the best place to see them would, if you're going to be walking down by that lake or go across the road there. Is it her road?
Her road, yes.
And that's pretty wide open. Wouldn't that be a pretty good place?
Yes, and then the observation dock from ODNR off of 95.
Okay, all right.
That's where I usually see them the most.
Okay, now all these people that are taking pictures, I love being... Now, I just joined a new group.
The Central Ohio Hikers?
Hikers.
Yeah. I didn't join or start that page, but I kind of helped get it going. Some teacher, I forget her name, she's in the Pleasant region, and she just loves hiking. And she asked about, you know, how she could start a page, and I give her my tips, you know, what I do. And, and then I told her, you know, that invite people. So
she's got several people that have joined.
Yeah.
I joined even though I don't really hike. I walk 2 miles a day, but I walk the same path, and it's on city streets. But but I do post pictures of things that are going. So I'm going to do that when the spring comes around. Yeah. I'm kind of a coward when it's like this. I walk on my treadmill. I hope that's all right. When it gets up above 50, I'll go outside. And it got above 50 a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And I was out walking, and a guy said, "I thought you had quit." Well, I don't quit. I go on my treadmill. My knees aren't what they used to be, so I don't jog or anything. I walk pretty slowly. But I love her site, and it's called, what is it called?
Central Ohio Hiking, Hikers, yeah.
So if you type that in on Facebook, you can probably find her,
You should be able to.
And the one that I get on all the time...
There's Birds in Bloom Nature, and then there's the Ohio Backyard Stewards.
That's the one I get on all the time.
Okay.
There are so many people on there, and there are people that are terrific photographers.
Oh, yeah, we're very fortunate.
I don't know how they get such good shots. I've tried to take... Now, I only have an iPhone camera.
Yeah.
But
big and expensive cameras and lenses.
Yeah, get big lenses. I found a lens that I can buy for $50 that turns my iPhone into a telephoto.
Yeah.
So I may ask for that for Christmas.
Oh, there you go. Have you been good this year, Glenn?
I have not. But I'd have to say that every year for the past 50 years. As a matter of fact, my wife's and my anniversary is coming up 10 days from now. We will be married 51 years. So
really? Congratulations.
Well, thank you. So the last 51 years have been a mess in my life. So, or a mess in her life, I guess. All right. So the snow owl, tell me how he's doing or she's doing. Do you know?
It's a she, yeah. No, okay. So for those owls, it's easy to tell boys and girls based on their markings. So if you see all those really dark bars or that all across her chest, that is the female. The males are more white. They don't have much coloration.
Okay.
The reason why is because then she's darker and she's able to blend in better. So when she's sitting on her egg, and they're also ground nesters too.
Okay.
Just got to remember, up in the Arctic tundra, especially the really northern part where they hang out, there's no trees.
Yeah, sure.
So
lots of ice though.
Yeah, a lot of ice. So you have to blend in the environment or in the ground.
Yeah, yeah. So now, do the boys also migrate down here?
Yeah.
No, you were telling me before that it's not real common to see them down this far.
Yeah. Typically, if they're going to migrate, it's usually like Lake Erie region.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you'll have some that will make it this far south, and then it's really uncommon to hear them, like down in Athens County. When I was down there in school with Rio Grande, I didn't get to see one, but I heard there was one just outside of Athens, so that's really pushing it.
Well, everybody notices them when they come to the area because they're so rare and they are so white.
Oh, yeah.
and they're beautiful birds. They and they're are. Big. They're not small owls.
Yeah. They are a good size owl. They're our largest owl of Ohio. Now, they're not a regular like the Great Horn, but they're our special visitors.
Yeah. Now, what would you say? 30 pounds? Not that heavy.
About six, seven pounds.
Okay, yeah. I keep forgetting birds have hollow bones.
Yes.
And they're lightweight by nature. Yes. But they're very fluffy, so they look big. Yeah.
Yeah, now turkeys, yeah, they can get up 25, 30 pounds.
Yeah, but they don't fly, so.
Yeah, they don't they fly very well. Around.
They're kind of like me. They just walk mainly. They can fly, though, can't they? A little.
A little bit. They
glide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But not if you throw them out of a helicopter over WKRP.
No.
Did you ever watch that show?
No, I have not.
Lester Nessman is the newsman, and he decides to promote WKRP in Cincinnati. He's going to take a bunch of turkeys up in the air in a helicopter and let them fly to the ground.
Oh, no.
They don't fly.
Yeah.
So it's funny, sad.
Yeah.
and I think the line is, oh, the humanity or something like that as they hit the ground. Oh, my. Well, anyway, so don't do that.
Yes.
If you're going to take a turkey up in a helicopter, keep them in the helicopter, all right? All right, so the snow owl, and I think I've explained to you why I'm so attached to snow owls. When I was a young man, I was playing in the South Bend Symphony, and our orchestra practiced at my high school. And I would sit there and look out the windows when I wasn't playing, and a snow owl came and, I guess, sat down outside our window for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Really?
And so sometimes I forgot to play my violin. So anyway, it just takes me back to my childhood.
There was a snowy owl a few years ago that stayed here in Marion County till May.
Oh, my.
And that's really uncommon here, because if they usually make it to Ohio, they'll usually stay about late March, early April. And then that's typically when they move up north, but he stayed around the Epsiville region.
Where is that?
It's if you're at Run Tallgrass Trail, it's about the 3 mile marker, but if you're on 95, I mean, you can't miss it.
Is that where there's a church?
Yeah, Epsiville Baptist Church, But right there on 95, right there by Epsiville Road, that's where he was hanging out the most.
Huh.
And again, probably about early to mid May, and then he was gone, so hopefully he made it back.
Do they eat little rodents and that sort of thing? Is that what
they eat? Now, their primary diet up in the Arctic tundra, it's called lemmings. So it's bigger than a
They're
mouse.
They're the ones that jump off the cliff, aren't they?
No.
Oh, okay.
So, well, actually, I take it back. There are some species of lemmings that are kind of in cliff environments.
Okay.
So, but these lemmings are not.
Are they a bird or?
No, they're a rodent. They're bigger than a mouse, but they're a little bit smaller than a rat. And that's the primary diet for the snowy owl in the tundra.
Isn't there a critter in this area that eats a lot of people's bulbs that's a little bit bigger than a mouse but smaller than a rat?
There's chipmunk. I mean, they'll eat a lot of bulbs.
Yeah, there's another rodent that I was told that
oh,
was...
Oh, foals?
Yes.
Foals, yes,
That was what was getting in my garden and digging up the bulbs.
Yes.
And eating them. Little buggers.
Yes, and a lot of our species of owls in here in Ohio, that's their primary diet, are foals and mice.
Well, come on over to my house. Help me out. Anyway, okay, so, and then what other type of owls are in this area now?
Screech owls, barred owls, and the great horn owl.
You're going to have to bring in some sounds of the screech owl.
I actually could look it up on our next break.
All right. Now, do they really screech?
They do. Actually, I can do one for you.
Okay, do it. He's good at this, by the way.
So what I always tell people, get a little spit or saliva and put it in the kind of back of your throat and go.
That's interesting. Doesn't sound like an owl at all to me.
That's called their trill.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool. That's kind of a pretty sound.
And I have attracted owls, screech owls doing that.
Have you really?
Because they're not the most intelligent of birds. Well, you know, it's funny. We call them wise, but it's funny.
Because they look wise.
Yeah, they look wise. But if you were to look at a scale from the most intelligent bird to the least intelligent, owls are the least intelligent.
Is that right?
Because it's their eyes. Their eyes make up about 80 to 90% of their skull. So that only leaves about 10 to 20% for brain capacity.
Oh, yeah.
So that means, you know, not, I'm not saying dumb, just saying not the most intelligent, you know.
I don't think there's anything politically incorrect in saying an owl's dumb, but this, go ahead.
You know, when you compare them to, like, crows and ravens and some of those macaws that can figure out puzzles, owls couldn't do that.
No. Mayans? What's the name of that blackbird that's so famously
There's
smart?
Magpies.
Yeah, have you ever seen a magpie?
No, I have not. They're out west.
Oh, are they?
Okay. Yeah, we don't have them in Ohio.
Okay, well, that's why
they look like a crow, but they have a white chest.
And don't they have a longer beak or something?
Yeah,
yeah. At least the cartoon ones do.
Yeah. Now, we used to have ravens in Ohio a long time ago, but
we don't have ravens anymore.
No, we kicked them out. So
well, the poor ravens.
I forget what year, but I know it was about the late 1800s when the last raven and prairie chicken. We kicked out of the state of Ohio.
What's a prairie
it's
chicken?
It's kind of like a pheasant.
Oh, okay.
A little bit smaller.
Okay.
Right. And they would have been probably abundant here in Marion County because they liked open grassland areas.
Okay. Kind of like a rock Cornish game hen.
Yeah, similar. Yeah. Something, yeah.
I used to have those for dinner parties.
Yeah.
That was a magnificent thing to do for dinner parties. Anyway, my wife and I had dinner parties when we were brand new into the marriage scene.
Oh, okay.
Because I was in the Army field band, and we'd have all the Army people over, and we'd sing our songs, and we'd have rock Cornish game hens. Anyway, okay. I don't know where I was going with that, but fortunately, we don't have a whole lot of time, so I don't have to run that one too long. All right, now, is there anything else on birds that we should be watching for in the area?
The trumpeter swans. There's quite a few of them out the lake right now.
Oh, are they at the lake? Oh, and I got to go out and see.
It's kind of hit and miss. Sometimes I can see one or two, and other times there's hundreds of them.
So, hundreds?
Yes. I kid you not.
Oh, I've got to get out there and
now
see
that. When you want to see them in that many, it's a cold day.
Oh,
because
okay.
What it is all the wetlands are frozen at Big Island and Killdeer Plains. So the waterfowl, so geese, the swans.
Come over.
And they come over. And then guess who also follows behind? The eagles.
Oh, I thought maybe the coyotes.
Oh, well, maybe them too. But a lot of the eagles, especially the juvenile eagles, we'll see them a lot of times hunt and try not go after the swans because they're too big, but after the ducks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was so interesting. A couple years ago, I had a bird watching program, and we got 1 minute.
Yeah.
So basically, same thing happened, and what happened was is the ducks were hugging the swans because the eagles were diving down.
And they wouldn't get close to the swans.
Yeah, and they wouldn't get close to the swans. But then it's funny, the swans were mad because the ducks were hiding. So the swans are pecking at the ducks, but they're just trying to get eaten from the eagles.
Better to be pecked than to be eaten.
Yes.
Right?
It was quite a sight to see.
I would love to have seen that. Well, my wife and I are going to have to head out your way on her road and drive by the lake sometime when it's really cold.
Yes.
Well, we're going to take a break here for about 2 minutes, and we'll be right back with James Anderson.
Scott, you know my favorite holiday movie is Miracle on 34th Street. What a film. Santa Claus on trial. How heartless can people be?
Well, I guess even Santa is not above the law.
I wonder if he has trouble getting work after being involved in such a high-profile court case. I know OJ did.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, the place for the holiday season.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
All right, we're back here, and we're talking about casting dispersions upon the intelligence of owls.
Yes.
James says that even dogs barking sometimes can attract owls because they think there are other owls.
Yes.
That's kind of, well, and there are some dogs that have similar bark to what you just did for a screech owl. But
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, are you've pulled up the screech owl.
I did.
And we're going to listen. We got to do this more often.
We should.
I love these sounds.
Yeah, luckily, yeah, and we can pull them up right on our phone.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the screech owl. Is that right?
Yep. So that's that trill.
Yeah. How fantastic is that? And didn't James sound just like that? I'm surprised we don't have a screech owl being in the
Well, you know, it's funny. They can live in downtown areas.
Oh, they can?
Yep. Well, because they're only like the size, a little bit bigger than a pop can.
Okay.
And they just need, you know, a little space. They're probably the most abundant owl species in the state of Ohio.
Oh, okay. And native to Ohio.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. And they're native. And also, too, their diet. It's such a fast, wide diet. They have about 128 different kinds of other animals a screech owl eats.
Well, you wouldn't mind having screech owls in the area because they would eat all the little rodents.
Yes, rodents, small birds,
yeah,
lizards, frogs, snakes, all kinds of things.
Yeah, do they eat dead animals?
No. Owls are not like vultures or eagles. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize eagles do eat carrion.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that on one of our shows, and
they
didn't know that at all.
Yeah, and that kind of gives them the advantage against ospreys, which is their cousin, because ospreys only eat fish. Well, eagles, that's their primary diet is fish, but then they'll eat rodents and rabbits and dead things. So eagles have a little bit fast, wide diet. I think that's why you can find them in more areas than an osprey.
Well, now the eagles that we get here, the bald eagles,
yes.
How big do they get?
So if you're measuring them for length or height wise, yeah, they get about close to 4 feet.
So they're tall.
And they get between 8 to about 15 pounds.
How about their wingspan?
It's huge. Yeah. It's about 8 feet.
Oh, wow.
About 7 to 8 feet. I'm 6'5", so yeah, I mean they can.
Wow.
And they need that muscle to lift them up since they're, you know, a heavier bird, and, you know, so they're able to soar.
Yeah.
And yeah, while we're kind of talking, you know, about birds at the trail, I usually tell people the winter time's usually the best time to see them at Tallgrass
Trail.
Well, sure,
you don't have leaves getting in the way.
Well, that too, but they just seem to be more active, to me at least, at in the winter season than the other seasons.
Maybe it's a little bit more difficult to get their prey, but they can see it easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now, I was just thinking, would they ever eat turtles? But
yes, they do.
Oh, do they?
I'm not sure if they do it here in Ohio, but they have served them out west. They'll grab a turtle and they'll fly sky high and they'll drop it, and it's like a nut cracks open, and that's how I know it's a little graphic thinking about it.
Poor turtle.
That's how the eagle gets his food.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I mention that is because probably one of the most prolific animals that I've seen out on the trail, other than some of the birds, has been turtles.
Even
in the summer, there's lots of turtles.
We got mainly painted turtles, but we have snapping turtles and soft shells.
Yeah,
out at the trail,
and they're kind of cool to watch. They don't do anything, but they just kind of lay there on a log, tip of a log, or something like that, and move their head around and look at me.
Usually about late May to mid-June, that's when the snapping turtles are laying their eggs, and they usually lay them right along the trail.
They come up on by the trail.
Yeah, because they lay their eggs there, and the unfortunate thing is they can't dig deep, so it's very exposed to predators. So sometimes I'll see a nest, or at least an attempt of a nest, about a day or two later, it's all dug up. So I assume raccoons, opossums, snakes, foxes.
What does their nest look like?
So all they do is, if it was just regular dirt, they just use their hind legs and they just dig it up, and then they just plop down and lay their eggs and then kind of cover it up, and then they leave.
Just kind of cover it up so they don't really dig deep, and they don't
They typically about 2 to 3 feet deep is when they far deep they like to
put their nest. Oh, that's pretty deep then.
Yeah.
So the critters that eat those eggs have to go to some work.
Yeah.
It's not laying on the surface.
Yeah. So, but again, unfortunately, because of the trail and the bedrock material from the from the old railroad, they can't do it very well.
So if you're out there on the trail and you see a recently dug hole, it might be a turtle nest.
Yes, it might be.
And what happens with turtles when those little critters come alive? Do they... How do they get out of the hole?
So they just pop up.
They're natural diggers. Yeah, yeah. They know how to do it.
Yep, huh? Yep.
I'll be darned.
And mom and dad doesn't do anything. They just, mom leaves them, and then you're on your own, kids.
Yeah. Wow. Nice dinner for an eagle, I guess.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And, I mean, they're about the size of a half dollar.
Yeah, so they're not very big. I've
cute, cute little things.
Yeah, cute until they're eaten.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, we've been talking about birds, and now we're talking about turtles. Are there other critters that we might be looking for other than birds out on the trail now?
I would say some of your mammal activity, especially deer, are going to be active, especially since last week was the deer gun season. So,
they're in
the rut is still continuing on. Rut will be ending here for too long.
So watch out while you're driving.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, her road goes right along the side of that lake. I think it's her road.
Yes, yeah, yeah, her road. Yep.
Yeah. So, be careful of deer out there. Do they like the the prairie area better, or do they prefer the woods, or do they use both?
They use both.
Yeah.
I would say it would probably be the forested areas would they would
they
use
can
most.
Hide.
Well, yeah. Hide, but also food. Problem about the grassland areas, there's not a lot of food for deer. It's just mainly for bedding.
Well, don't deer just eat green?
Well, they can, but they're what they really want. They want like acorns and hickories.
Oh.
And then of course, yes, they'll eat foliage like flowers and leaves and all. Right now, I mean, they're going to be eating branches from trees, so in evergreens. So not a lot of nutrition, but it gets them through the winter.
Yeah, yeah. Now, my wife and I camp a lot down at Delaware.
Yeah.
At the, I guess it's a
state park. Yeah. Yep. Come.
And we camp down there, and we see a lot of deer there.
Yes, there is.
They wander through our campground a lot. And I think I mentioned we also were frightened by a raccoon that growled.
Yeah, you told me about that. Yeah. And you went back in your camper.
Yes, we got in our camper. But the deer are kind of fun to watch out there because they're not terribly afraid of people. Because they know they're not going to get shot on the state park. And I think they know exactly where the border line is.
Yes. Yeah, deer are pretty smart.
Are they?
Yeah. They know the kind of, like you said, where they can be safe. And
yeah, they seem to. It's kind of interesting if you watch them, and we go between the campground area and the swimming area, they kind of skirt away from the road.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see that because God knows how many deer I've killed and how many unfortunate cars I've killed.
Yeah.
Three deer and three car. That's my schedule right now. I haven't hit one in a long time, but when I lived in Athens, they were everywhere.
They are.
And crossing 33 sometimes back then when there wasn't a bypass or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little scary. Anyway. Okay, we've only got about 5 minutes. Yeah, what do you want to start talking about before we go into the next half hour or 45 minutes?
Just that's, when it's going to be starting snowing and all. I mean, I know we just had our snowfall last week or week before, but just keep in mind that, we do our best to kind of clean off the trail, but not all of it may be clear off. So just be careful, especially if you're prone to fall over or what. We just ask for people just to be careful.
And you do allow cross-country skiing on the trail? Didn't you say that was but people just don't do it?
Yeah,
but it's okay.
Yeah,
snowshoeing and
that sort of thing. I have seen some snowshoeing before. So as long as it's not snowmobiles or any motorized activity, okay. Then,
I suppose you could ride your bike out there, but it'd be a little difficult. When I was younger, way younger, I mounted a ski on the front of my bicycle.
Oh, you did?
And I had like snow tires for the back end of my bicycle. And I could drive around town kind of on a it wasn't motorized. It was me pushing the pedals that made the thing go.
Oh, okay.
But I found out really soon that I could make better ground just walking.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would fall down all the time, and I'd fall down all the time, so I didn't do that very long. But my mother, what I used to make the back tire more of a snow tire is I'd wrap old socks around it, and that would give it a little more traction. Now, it was fun, but it was stupid. So I gave up pretty quickly on that, yeah. Well, my brother and I actually invented before it was even thought of, we invented a skateboard with a sail on it.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
That would be interesting.
It was interesting, but there were a lot of scrapes and falls.
Oh, I bet. A lot of trial and error.
Yeah, because nobody had ever heard of a skateboard, and all we did is put shoe skates on the bottom of a board.
Really?
And then we mounted a stick on it, a big, tall pole, and I used probably one of Mom's blanket sheets. She probably hated it, but we'd go up and down the sidewalk in front of our summer cottage up in northern Michigan, and it would go pretty good. And once you got going fast, you had to be careful because
they didn't
like bumps, and you'd find yourself on the ground.
Just think, you could have been a millionaire.
We could have been. And my brother did end up being a millionaire by inventing a door. Man, you'd think that doors were invented a long time ago.
Reinvented the wheel.
His was a reinvented door. He invented the doors that you use in fire situations. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway,
yeah, and he invented the door that they used on the back of 95% of NASCAR's car haulers.
Really?
Yeah, he invented that door. So that's how he got rich. I didn't get any of that money or the brains. So anyway, well, when we come back, we will talk about more critters and more plants. Are there plants that we should be watching right now, like poisonous things or anything?
Poison ivy is always a year-round thing.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me that, because I've got poison ivy in my yard, and I know exactly where it is, but I didn't know it was active during the winter.
Yep, all year long.
So I will not go back there with my bare hands and try and root it out.
Don't take your puppy dog either.
Oh, yeah. I never thought.
Because that oil, the aerosol, can transfer over to their fur.
Oh, of course it
can. And you pet your puppy dog. Well, guess what? Your puppy dog gave you a poison ivy.
I'll be darned. Well, my puppy dog, she's so old now that we made her a little private pen in our backyard.
Okay.
It's kind of circular, and it's about 20 feet across. And she's blind, so she runs into the fence all the time. But it's working out pretty well for her, and it's a long way away from where the poison ivy is. So we'll keep her safe. And I got to keep her safe. She gives me all my ideas for my shows.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you guys sit down and write down. Yeah.
Yeah, at nighttime, she lays in the crook of my arm and tells me exactly what I should be asking. Now, last night, she just slept. She didn't tell me anything, so that's why I'm kind of ignorant today.
I see.
Well, we're talking with James Anderson, who is Marion County's naturalist, about everything natural in the county. You're basically bound by the county borders, is that? But you do have some.
I do some stuff outside, especially in Morrow County. Well, since I live over in Morrow County, I've done some things in Wyandotte County and Union County.
Yeah, but you're basically our naturalist.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We can claim you. Okay. Well, we got about 10 seconds before we got to get out of here. So we'll be back after the hour break here with James Anderson, and I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to On the Air.
You're listening to WWDH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. Your place for holiday fun. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor Ed Asner singing the Christmas song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna say, to see if reindeers really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
WWDH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for holiday fun. All the staff and crew here at WWDH Radio wish you and yours a very happy and healthy holiday season. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hello, I'm Joey the Elf, and I'm here to bring you another origin of one of our Christmas traditions. During the medieval Christmas festivals, a quirky tradition was started where the poor would have a day to rule the rich. This would include the poor knocking at the door of a rich man and singing until he opened the door. Upon opening the door, the poor demanded warmth, food, and drink. The lord of the manor would give his best to the beggars, and the group would sit together singing before a roaring fire, drinking fresh beer while eating meat and bread. Now, if he didn't grant their wish, the beggars would play a trick on the lord, making his life quite miserable. As a matter of fact, we still have an old song from those days. It's known as the Wassailing Bowl. One of the verses says, "Come, butler, come fill us a bowl of the best. Then we hope your soul in heaven may rest. But if you do draw us a bowl of the small, then down shall go butler, bowl and all." Over time, it became more about going door-to-door singing and then being invited in for some warm coffee or hot chocolate. The tradition became known as wassailing in England and caroling in America. You know, it's something we still do to this very day.
Come, butler, come fill us a bowl of the best. Then we hope that your soul in heaven may rest. But if you do draw us a bowl of the small, may the devil take butler, bowl and all.
I'm Jolly the Elf. Stay tuned, and I'll return later with another origin of one of our Christmas traditions.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. In the spirit of the holiday season, WWGH Radio will play one classic Christmas song every hour through Christmas. WWGH Radio wishes you and yours a very happy holiday season.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Blixin' and blixin' and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. So hang your stockings and say your prayers, cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle, jangle, oh, what a beautiful sight. So jump in bed and cover your head, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, he loves you just the same. Santa Claus knows we're all God's children, that makes everything right. So fill your hearts with Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when chimes ring out that it's Christmas morn again. Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light. So let's give thanks to the Lord above, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen, all his reindeers pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
When Mother Nature strikes, who do you turn to? The number one trusted weather team in Marion County, the Marion, Ohio Weather Team. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at weather43302.com.
Programming on WWGH Radio is proudly supported by Mimi's Party Zone and Balloons. Address 117 North Greenwood Street, Suite 5. Telephone number 740-262-8810. Facebook page Mimi's Party Zone and Balloons.
This is Superhost, and I'd like to wish all the listeners of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM and Scott Spears a very happy holiday season.
And now a holiday message from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
This is the worst Christmas party ever.
Why? We have the trees, the eggnog, the fruit cake, and presents under the tree.
But you forgot to invite the other guests. It's just you and me.
I knew I forgot something, but that just means more eggnog for me.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the place for the holiday season.
Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website williamsgrasscutters.com. Facebook page at Williams Grass Cutters. Email w.grasscutters@gmail.com.
I'm the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, reminding you not to forget to catch Adam Lepp on Monday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. with Mid-Morning Coffee Break right here on 107.1 FM WWGH.
Ted listens, and so should you. Also, talk today's top and trendy technology topics with me, Adam, every Tuesday and Thursday between 2:10 and 3 p.m. on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.
This is Earl Fitzamerican. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address, 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number, 740-387-9050.
Hi, this is Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice. In conjunction with WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, we're reminding you that during the COVID-19 pandemic, that it is best to keep your distance 6 feet apart from each other at all times. Wash your hands with soap and warm water as often as possible, and stop buying all the toilet paper. Remember, we are all in this together.
'Twas the night before wild lights, and all through the zoo, creatures were decorating just for you. With 3 million lights and displays that glow, there was much to be done before the big show. Rhinos were happily hanging the wreaths. Monkeys made cocoa and holiday treats. Penguins had ornaments perfectly placed, the highest of which were hung by Big Hank. But one thing was missing from the festivities, the shining star on top of the tree, till Santa showed up and said with a laugh, "Looks like a job for Jama Giraffe."
The tradition continues. Wild lights at the Columbus Zoo make safe and fun holiday memories. Visit Santa and real reindeer. Plus, see the Polar Express 4D experience in the 4D theater. Now through January 3rd. Reserve your entry time at columbuszoo.org.
It's now time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Brought to you live from the WWGH Newsroom.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. Recently, Mayor Scott Schertzer appeared on WWGH Radio and gave his thoughts on community events continuing during the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic.
Well, the few conversations that I've had, or numerous conversations with multiple organizations, is that they feel like that they are following the health protocols put in place by Marion Public Health, the State Department of Health, and even the CDC. And that may be true. They may be following those health protocols. You take the Palace, for example. They're only allowing, I think, 300, and only families can sit together. And I know that follows the protocols, but now we have public health officials saying maybe we shouldn't gather with our family on Thanksgiving Day, but we're going to let our families sit together at Christmas at the Palace. So that's the challenge that I think that the Palace faces. Look, I think Christmas at the Palace it's an institution, and if we want to continue to have those traditions, we need to make sure that they do it right and we preserve the institutions for tomorrow and next year and the next decade.
You're exactly right. They're all events that we attend. They are institutions. We love these events. But at this point, would you attend an event like this?
Well, I personally am not. I have unfortunately had to say no to more things than I ever have in my tenure as mayor. And I'm the kind of mayor who likes to say yes to every public event that exists in our community, because I thrive on those types of events. I love to get out there and participate, whether it's the peanut push, the lighting of the Christmas tree, the Palace, Christmas at the Palace, or other events that I've really had to question my involvement in them during the pandemic. And I've unfortunately had to say thank you very much, but this year I'm going to have to decline and say no. Now, there are some things that I will continue to do, but look, I wear a mask, almost all the time when I'm out in public, and we wear it all the time in City Hall now. I just did an executive order, which coincides with the judge's order, Judge Teresa Ballinger, that it is now mandatory to wear a mask in City Hall. And if you choose not to, for whatever reason, then we're going to have to look to alternatives to provide city government services to you that you might need. So the executive order, the judicial order from the judge, that's what I need. And I try very hard to stay in my lane on these issues. I have control over City Hall. I have control over the senior center. Talking to Steve Bottiger more than a week ago, I said, Steve, I don't know when we'll feel comfortable to open up the senior center. We will revisit it the first of the year. We'll see where the vaccine is. We'll see how widely distributed the vaccine is. So what I mean by staying in my lane, those are two areas where I am in my lane and I have the jurisdiction and the authority to do something about City Hall, the senior center, or other government services that I'm responsible for.
For the Marion, Ohio Weather Team, I am Zach Fuller. This is your Weather Minute on WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion and online at WWGH1071.com. Thursday, sunshine and clouds mixed through the day, a high near 46. And Friday, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 53. Local pollen counts are low through Tuesday. Get the latest conditions and more on our MONN-TV mobile app, available now in the Google Play and Apple App Store. For the Marion, Ohio News Network, I'm Zach Fuller on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion, and online at WWGH1071.com.